from New York Edition with yours truly, Dennis Shipman. It's cloudy and 60 degrees here in Brooklyn, New York. And I hope you had a good weekend. I had a quiet one and a reflective, contemplative. Happy Memorial Day to you and to those troops. You know, I have friends who have children. When you have friends that have children that are in the military, you know that you're getting long in the tooth. And those troops, you know, soldiers, Marines, airmen, sailors, Coast Guardsmen, are all sheltering in place. So if they are have a duty station, like the Coast Guard has a duty station down by my house on the Eastern Shore of Maryland, I'm sure that those Coast Guardsmen aren't on the base. It's really just a slip, really, where they moor their vessel. And right next door to it is Maryland has Natural Resource Police also moors their boat there as well, because we're at the end of the island, or peninsula, or end of the state. The southernmost town in Maryland, where my house is, but I'm getting ready to take off as soon as this thing falls, but it doesn't seem to be going to, and despite that, the government is opening up anyway, so I hope that those troops that are out there, with or without masks, you still have to take precaution, especially people that are, you know, we've heard numerous incidents of people intentionally coughing on other people, you know, primarily white, but I'm sure that others have engaged in this sort of despicable, dirty, nasty behavior. I don't know what the purpose of it is for, and I pray to God that it never happens to me or anyone around me. I don't want to go to jail for some numbskull that wants to endanger my life or the life of my loved ones merely to make a point. And what point exactly are you making? You're following a dope in the White House who's only concerned about being reelected because there are any number of indictments awaiting him when he gets out of office. Joe Biden alluded to that several weeks ago when he said that he would not be pardoning Donald Trump. So you can expect that this is, to him, a battle of life or death, because at the point where he loses, his whole administration is gone. So Barr will no longer be there to protect him, to do his bidding, like the stooge he is. But right now we're in a pickle, and we're going to be in a pickle for quite a while, because this pandemic is not abating. Down here by my house, we're near a major resort, Ocean City. It's in Worcester County, the easternmost county in Maryland, and it's a major tourist destination. And people have come out in droves to get over there and walk the boardwalk and go to the beach and that sort of thing, not social distancing at all. And it's awful. I mean, it has taken its toll on me, you know, personally as well, because I can't move around. I'm, you know, I like to travel. I like to get into any number of my vehicles. Typically, I take the old SUV. I keep it, you know, maintenance specifically to drive long distances at high speed, really. So I keep it tuned to the T. 27 years old and still going strong. Still customizing it. Not the gaudy type of customization that you might expect. You know, interior and everything is pretty Spartan. But you know, in terms of off-road maneuverability, we put 6,000-pound winch. The vehicle only weighs 6,700 pounds, so the winch is more than adequate to get it out of, you know, most situations. Got stuck the other day. Guy helped me out because I'm an outdoorsman. I like to, even though I'm a city boy, you know, I like the oars. I grew up on Long Island, and when I was growing up on Long Island, it was all ducks and strawberry farms out there, pumpkin patches and that sort of thing. Really, we had the milkman deliver milk, and the prefix of our telephone started with MI. This is prior to touchtone and prior to area codes. So MI6, stole prefix for Wyandanch, which is where I grew up at, Suffolk County. And it was fantastic, man, living out there. We dealt with racism, don't get it twisted now. You know, desegregation and white flight, the whole nine. I seen it all. And I think this is what drew me out to the Eastern Shore, because it is somewhat similar. Long Island is a little more suburban, but the beaches are right there. I mean, you know, we would just hop in a truck or a car or whatever and go to the beach. You know, remember many, many years ago, I had a girlfriend, and she was very spontaneous, and that's what attracted me to her. I remember, man, just hanging out. I don't know what I was doing, whether I was working or not working, or I think I was probably, I don't really remember. I think I was, you know, in between jobs or probably driving a cab or something like that. I did that for a number of years. I used to just say, tell her, hey, grab a bathing suit and we go to the beach, man, and just hang out. You know, it was just tremendous fun growing up out there and, you know, being a young adult out there and, you know, to this area, but it doesn't have, the sophistication, I would say, of a Long Island. And it doesn't have the course either. Long Island is extraordinarily expensive. You know, I just wonder about my cousins and, you know, a family that remained in that area, you know, how they manage, you know, with taxes, you know, hoovering around $9,000, $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 per annum for a house. That's $1,000 a month. A lot of money when you own a house, you know, and you have to pay that on top. Or if you haven't paid your mortgage, you know, that's a big hit. So returning there is not something I ever seriously contemplated doing, except a visit, and then I'm out again. But, you know, I like the city. It's, the taxes are much cheaper, thank God. And a lot more to do, but, you know, with the shelter in place, you know, we haven't had much to do over the last 6 weeks. And, you know, even with the relaxation of restrictions, you know, Cuomo is going to June 1st, or end of June, I think he said, before they will start relaxing restrictions in any substantive way. And I'm torn, man, because, you know, this administration that's out bragging every day about, you know, the yeoman's job that it has done, hasn't done much of anything to mount an effective testing and tracing campaign to know where the virus is. And, you know, that's how you attack. That's the simple strategy, military strategy 101. You have to know where your enemy is to effectively mount your troops, you know. So, you know, we're in a situation where, you know, everybody's trying to go about, you know, business as usual. You know, everybody's wearing to go back because they're forcing people back. You know, people making under $100,000 a year can't sustain themselves or pay their bills, you know, with the $1,200 stimulus, or even the $600 a week, or whatever it is, extra that they're getting for long. So people are heavily relying on food banks and that sort of thing. I've been fortunate, thank God, you know. But I'm still struggling too, you know. I don't have any, you know, receipts. I don't, you know, my, you know, all my business is dried up completely. But I'm so fortunate, still blessed, thank God. And I know the troops that are being forced to, you know, shelter in place, stay on the base or stay on the ships and that sort of thing. I know it's got to be tough because these are young people, late teens, early 20s for the most part, until you get into the senior ranks, senior enlisted or, you know, warrant and, into the officers' corps. Well, and some of them are very young, but, you know, as you go up, you know, to field rank and flag rank, you know, those people are in their 50s and 60s. I think 60s, you have to go, even as a general officer, I'm not really sure. They change that, or you can get a waiver for certain occupational specialties. Even the officers' corps, you can get an extension waiver, staying a little longer, but not much longer. I know there was a sergeant served when I was around, he was 60 at the time. He was a professional, but he wasn't. He didn't practice. That wasn't his MOS in the Army. He was, I think, a straight infantryman. 11B, I think. I'm not really sure, but I think that in civilian life, real life, however you want to parse it, I think he was a medical professional of some sort, not necessarily a physician, but some optometrist or something, not a dentist, but something under, you know, at that level, professional, medical professional. So as we remember the troops and memorials and the deaths from Corona, you know, we have to remember that the worst is still in front of us. We have not, despite the happy talk that we hear ad nauseum from the White House, if you listen to this sort of dribble, we haven't gotten to the first phase yet, folks. We have not. Trust me. We're nowhere close. Yes, it is leveling off in some areas only because of strict containment measures, but with the beaches, every beach on the East Coast has opened, and I'm sure in California, Newsom and those West Coast governors, Oregon, Washington, are being confronted with the same pressure to reopen the beaches. But we can expect to see spikes here and there, and maybe even a roaring resurgence before we even get to that second wave. You know, everybody's talking about a second wave. Well, the second wave is supposed to be worse than the first. We haven't gotten to it. I don't get this misinformation that people, even the media, is propagating. We're not through the first wave of this pandemic. We're not. We haven't successfully contained it because people don't want to don't mask. You know, they feel it's an affront against their freedom. Freedom to do what? To infect me and my family and my friends and my loved ones, people that I care about? Come on, man. I have no sympathy for that foolishness, you know. And, this has nothing to do with race, man. Blacks and whites are equally irresponsible. You know, we've seen gatherings over the weekend of black folk and this. And I'm sure my family, too. I'm not going out to Long Island. You know, I'll call them or text them or email them or whatever. But I'm not going out there to attend any barbecue. Forget about it, you know. People handling your food. And that's the other thing, you know. Before the virus, I was scrupulously meticulous about my hygiene. I mean, I just don't allow anybody to prepare my food. I've always been like that as a child. And my mother was very, you know, clean. Always washed her hands. She was, you know, always washed the food and everything. Very meticulous about hygiene. And I learned that as a young child, and I brought it with me into teenager and young adulthood, and now in adulthood. And so I have tons of cleaning products, and you know, I scrubbing away furiously whenever I feel a need. If something were to happen, it wouldn't be as a consequence of my lack of hygiene. So, you know, it's no reason for me to go out there. You know, I was just thinking about another incident where, you know, people got sick, you know, hospitalized, some sort of bacterial infection as a consequence of, you know, people preparing food as usual, not washing their hands. And so I don't do the buffet. I don't do the, you know, unless I see them bring the food out. Then even then I'm careful. There's a couple of buffets that I like, but I'm still extraordinarily careful. And those things are going to be a thing of the past anyway. I mean, you know, it's not going to be business as usual. You know, with the guidelines, even, you know, people clamoring to reopen. The fact of the matter is that they're reducing occupancy to 50, even 25% in some places. That's not going to be enough to sustain a lot of businesses. A lot of businesses are going to go under. It's pure and simple, man. A lot of small businesses are not returning, period. And we have to get that in our heads. And the other thing is a lot of churches, not only churches, other institutions, but I'm just naming churches because I'm thinking about a lot of these storefront churches and, you know, that, you know, heavily relying on tithes and offerings. They're not going to make it. They're not. Unless they own the building. That's the only way you could make it, you know. If you own the building, then you have a shot. But if you're paying rent to someone, or you have a mortgage, you can forget about it. Because when they reopen, not that the pandemic is going to be over, but when the banks start coming for their loot, and you don't have their coin, they're going to foreclose. It's that simple. They don't care. You know, I had a preacher friend many, many years ago, out in Wyandanch, as a matter of fact, who was, they threw him in the street, man. I remember this, you know. It was the worst thing I'd ever seen, you know. Eviction, that sort of thing, that sort of insult against your person and your property, man, is tough to deal with. It is. That's why I don't rent. And, you know, from a business perspective, I refuse. I don't put myself in that position. If I can't pay outright, cash outright for anything, property, real property, you know, land, whatever, and I have plenty of it, I don't want it. You know, I'm having a problem down here with these hicks, you know. And my thing is like this here, you know, we're either going to come to an agreement at some juncture or we're going to litigate. And if you decide to take the property down, it's fine. I have other property, even more. And it is not subject to the same nonsense that this particular piece of property is subject to. And at that point, you know, I'll pay a surveyor a couple thousand dollars. You know, I wanted to have the property surveyed years ago, but the surveyor was talking about $8,500. I was like, you're not going to get $8,500 from me ever. So I have two acres in the same area, and it is off the grid. It's what preppers call off the grid. It's one access road in there. It's really badly maintained, and you know, at some point I'm going to have to get back there with heavy equipment and clear it out. You know, if I decide to you know, to have a presence in this area, I might not. I don't know. But with 2 acres, that's, you know, those that know anything about land and property and that sort of thing is roughly the size of two football fields, slightly smaller, but not that much smaller, just slightly smaller than two football fields. If I decide to remain in air-ended, I'm gonna build up the road and have it surveyed, you know, have it marked, and then I'll you know, pave the road, or not pave the road, but put more stones on there and stuff like that. You know, invest in a little bit, buy a dump truck, get some rocks, and start, you know, dumping rocks back there and building it up. Because there's a lot of sitting water. The place is in a floodplain, so that's the other part of it. And that attracts me a lot more than anything, and then I won't have the problems that I'm having over here, you know, with this particular piece of property. But, you know, me, knowing me, you can't push me. You can't bully Dennis Shipman. That's a fool's errand. You want to push me and bully me, then that's not going to happen. And I'm going to push back, and you're going to push, and then we're going to push, and we're going to be in a fight. And that's how this is going to go. With these hicks out here, and you know, because I can just bounce, I can go back into the city. The only reason I'm down here is because, you know, there's nothing to do up there. You know, it's tough. It doesn't even resemble New York, and you know, the deaths. And you know, I have a friend of mine, a prominent funeral director, and he was just telling me that, you know, wanted me to help him out. Actually, I told you I still have a Class A CDL. Get some, you know, grab one of the reefers that they converted into a morgue, and, you know, take the remains somewhere to get him cremated, but nobody has the capacity to do that. And I was going to do it because I could use the money. I sure can. There's no shame in my game, but you know, I had another problem. My telecommunications provider, T-Mobile, I had to fire them after 10 years, you know. They tried to overcharge me and then dug in their heels, had the nerve to dug in, and I had to shame them on social media. And finally, their legal department got involved and came clean and admitted that, you know, they had sent me a tablet that, you know, without permission, that the woman had been assessed charges on, you know. And I said, no, you're not doing it. I paid them in full, and I bounced. I'm just trying to get switched over now, and this other company is giving me a huge problem, two of them, you know, because they want you to call in and talk to these nitwits, you know, rank and file, you know, following the script types, and I'm not going to do that. I don't waste my time. I don't really have the patience or the tolerance. Anybody who knows me knows I don't suffer fools, and I don't have the patience to get on the phone and repeat myself time and time again and try to repeat numbers and stuff like that. Read it. Take the time to read an email or a letter or whatever. You know, people don't want to do that, and, you know, that's fine. I'm not a telephone person. The most talking I do is during my show, and that's it. You know, I don't do a lot of gabbing on the phone. You know, I talk to my child, one or two friends, once in a blue moon, and that is the extent of it. I had to see my buddy the other day. I hadn't seen him in a long time. He's a good friend of mine, the guy I was telling you about, funeral director, you know, really close friend of mine. Not my best friend. I don't think I have a best friend, but, you know, if I did, he would come close. And, you know, we've been hanging for, you know, almost two decades now. And so I went up to see him. He lives in the same city as my son. And so it worked out well. You know, I didn't want to spend too much time with my son, only because, you know, I didn't know whether he was asymptomatic. I were, and I didn't want him to transmit it to me or me to him. And, you know, I love my kid as any parent loves their child. And, you know, I miss him terribly, but, you know, hey, you know, we're going to spend some time together. Get your birthday. It was his birthday, you know, turned 11, you know, big boy now. And, hung out with Dad, you know, we did what we do, rode around, got something to eat, and basically bounced. And then I went over and spent the rest of the evening with this guy. He wanted me to hang out overnight. I was like, nah, I'm going back. And in retrospect, I should have, because I was so tired driving back that I had to pull over and take a cat nap because, you know, it's 2 hours from, I wasn't going back to the city. I was coming back down to the Eastern Shore. It was a long haul, trust me. So I wouldn't be doing, I won't be doing that anytime soon. So that's where I'm at with that, and on this Memorial Day, as we remember the troops and those that have succumbed to this virus, I just pray that we really have them in memorial, really think long and hard, because we're in a paradigm shift, a transition, folks, and it's not going to be business as usual when we emerge on the other side in a couple of years, because it's not going to be anytime soon. And the reason is because of lack of compliance, you know, people coming out selfishly, you know, clamoring to reopen and this, that, and the other, business as usual. And it's not. It's not. This virus has gained, some pieces of DNA have gained a toehold in the human population. It's not going anywhere. It is not. Viruses are notoriously difficult to vaccinate against. Notoriously difficult because they mutate and they change and, you know, they change their protein structure and, you know. And there are some very innovative scientists that are, you know, have some promising leads. There are a lot of trials out, about 9 or 10 now in that last count. And they might be successful. I don't know. But I don't know any virus that they have found a vaccine against. And if you do, call next week and let me know, because I'm kind of in a loop on this, and I can't recall ever, well, maybe polio and measles, but I think if they're viruses, I'm not really sure. You know, that was many, many years ago, so. I stand corrected after, and I will do my research and come back next week and let you know what I found out. Meanwhile, safe, stay in place. If you don't have to go out, don't. If you do, then God bless. Wear a mask, socially distance, and wash your hands.